good morning and welcome to New Life Family Church. What a great honor to have you worship God with us this morning. I loved hearing you guys sing just from the top of your lungs and just cry out to God. It makes me smile. And I'm just a guy. Imagine how the Lord feels when he hears you just cry out to God like that and just give him praise and honor him and worship him. So good morning and welcome to New Life Family Church. We're certainly excited that you're here. We're excited for pumpkin spice everything. We're excited for sugar overdosing your kids. And we're just excited for what God's going to do in the next few months. So it's just a great time to be alive. Things are looking up. I know that there's gloom and doom in the world, but I'm kind of excited. I think things are looking up. I just want to remind you to get out and vote. I'm not going to do a big political thing. I'm simply going to say, please vote. Pray. Don't just vote because you've always voted the same party or the same way. Why don't you pray? Some of you are Christians now and you weren't Christians 2 years ago or 4 years ago. So you might need to actually, ask God what he thinks you should do. And of course, we at this church, the only real issue that we ever take issue with politically is on the area of abortion. We just feel really strongly about abortion. And I don't know that I did a great job last week, so I want to apologize. We've got people in our church that have had abortions. And listen, we've all done things in our life that perhaps were not God's best for us. Some of us have sinned against God. We've cheated on spouses. We've slept with people we're not married to. We've gotten drunk. We've gotten high. We've stolen. We've lied. We've all sinned. And so abortion is one of those things that there's no shame for anything that we've done in our past because everything we put under the blood of Jesus, and it's, there's so much grace and goodness there. But as a nation and as a law, I feel in the last 40 years that a lot of the degradation of the culture and the character of our nation is because we have legally allowed millions of children to be murdered. So we've got, 9 or 10 different ladies in our church right now that are pregnant. So here at New Life, we believe that life begins at conception. And so how old is your daughter? She's 3 months, 4 months, 3 and a half. Oh, Josh is better at math than you and I. So she's 5 months old, but she happens to be inside of Cassie. You know what I'm saying? She's, you feel what I'm saying? That baby is alive and well and did a sonogram this week, and she was doing backflips in there the whole time. She's alive and well. You know what I'm saying? That life began 5 months ago. So anyway, I say all that to say, please vote. And before you vote, make sure that the candidates that you're voting for are pro-life. And then you vote for whoever you want to vote for. That's between you and God. So how's everybody doing? Good?
Yeah.
It's always fun to talk about Jesus and politics, right? Yeah. If you just want to make everybody nervous all at once. So today we're actually going to make things even more nervous by talking about marriage and family. So you can just get it all out. Okay, good. So I saw a quote from Pastor Rick Warren. Rick Warren is the pastor of Saddleback Church out in California. And he said, in this day and age, in the culture that we minister in, there's way too many ought-to sermons and not enough how-to sermons. Because our parents and our grandparents' generation, generally speaking, had a Judeo-Christian background. They all went to Sunday school. They all knew the Bible. But for the first time, we are in an un-Christian nation in America, and we're talking to people that perhaps did not grow up in church, they did not grow up in Sunday school, they did not have a flannel graph and little Kool-Aid with animal crackers after church on a Sunday afternoon. Can I get an amen, old school church people? We have a generation of people that don't know the stories. They don't know the Bible. So instead of just telling people what they ought to do, Pastor Rick Warren is encouraging pastors, teach people how to do things. And I thought, well, I'm not very good at very many things, so I don't know how to teach people how to do stuff. And then I was reminded this week of a statement. We've got friends our kids go to school together. Our kids are friends with one another. Pastor Jeff Little, he pastors Milestone Church out in Keller, and their church has grown, and they've won many people to Jesus. So Josie and I were actually picking Jeff and his wife Brandy's brain, and we were just like, hey, teach us how to win the lost. Teach us how to change the city the way you guys have changed Keller. And one of the things that Jeff said is, he said, I've known you guys for about 7 years, and we don't know one another well. We're not like BFFs or anything. But Jeff said, I've watched the Kerrigan family, and I've watched the Brad and Josie marriage. He said, I'm inspired by your family and by your marriage. And if I were you, I would just teach on marriage and family every single week. So that's literally what we're going to do today is I'm going to teach you the how to be happily married for 22 years. I can't teach you how to be happily married for 23 years because we haven't quite gotten there yet. But I can teach you how to be Jesus biblically happily married for 22 years. And then I can also teach you how to raise three kids that are now into, you know, late teens and into adulthood that all three love the Lord. We won't probably get to that today. We'll talk about that next week. So what did I say? How to stay happily married for 22 years. Here's your how-to. Now, those of you that have been married for much longer than me, hey, congratulations. You get 30 minutes to pray for the other couples in the room. Those of you that have, you've been married, maybe you're widowed or divorced and you realize I'll probably never be married again. Hey, do you have kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews, you know, people in your life that you could take a few tips down and encourage other people? How many of you are younger and you want to be married either one day or one day soon? Can I get an amen? So, right? So, first, just look around. Who else's hands was raised, by the way? And then what you want to do is take these tips down because I can help you. I can literally how-to you how to be happily married for 22 years. Step one, become a radical disciple of Jesus. If you were here last Sunday, you heard the message where I said, please, for the love of God, stop being a Christian. And some of you that weren't here last Sunday think we're all going to hell. Just watch the sermon or listen to the podcast. It's on our website. Stop being a Christian, but instead become a Jesus disciple. Because discipleship is radical. Discipleship means you die to your old life. You've had your sins forgiven. You're dead to sin. You're alive for Jesus. Discipleship says, I'm dead to live the way I want to live, and I'm going to live for God's kingdom. Okay, so all of us are sitting in this building right now, and I don't know if you know this, but there's thousands and thousands of pounds of steel and insulation and roofing above your head. Why are you sitting in this building? It is a liability that it's going to fall on your head and crush you and kill you. But think about what you're sitting on, you're standing on, about a 6 or 8 inch slab of concrete and steel rebar, right? And then you see all these pillars throughout the room. They're holding the roof up. This is a healthy, happy marriage and family. The foundation that you're sitting on is Jesus. You would never build a house without a strong foundation. You can't build if you don't have something to hold the thing up. Jesus is the foundation of your marriage or of your future marriage, single people. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. So why do you keep calling me Lord, but you don't do what I say? Jesus, that's in red letters in your Bible. Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what Jesus says? Verse 47, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me and they listen to my teaching and then they follow it. It's like a person who builds a house. They dig a deep foundation on a solid rock. When the floodwaters break in and they rise against that house, it will stand firm because it is well built. It will stand firm because it is well built. But verse 49, if you don't want to do Pastor Brad's step one, anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground with no foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse in a heap of ruins. I can guarantee you how not to make it to 22 years of happy marriage, and that is do not make Jesus the foundation of your personal life. Not your marriage life, your personal life. Too many marriages in this day and age are being ruined and are ending in divorce and broken hearts because of weak or cracked Jesus foundations. So you have to get step one or you can't do the other 8 steps that I'm gonna give you today. You have to, what did verse 48 say? You have to stand firm on that foundation. Jesus is the strong foundation of your life. And if you don't get the main thing right, you can't build. You can't go up. You can't go above that because you have to get Jesus right. And generally speaking, if you get this, healthy families, healthy marriages will produce healthy kids, healthy grandkids, which will multiply exponentially. So if you get this right, chances are your kids, your grandkids are going to love the Lord and they're going to build healthy marriages and families. So what do you think the one thing the devil wants to do is to destroy your marriage, to destroy your foundation? So he's going to try to attack your future marriage by coming at your foundation today. So I'm trying to help you. Friend, listen, if you get this Jesus foundation strong under your life, you can build a happy, healthy marriage and family. But if you don't take the time to invest in the strength of your foundation in Jesus, then everything you build on top of that is going to fail. Let me also say it this way. If you have been through in your life any kind of abuse, neglect, abandonment, any kind of sexual assault, any kind of emotional attacks, maybe some serious deaths in your family. Maybe you were raised in a religious environment that was completely unhealthy. You might have some baggage that you're holding on to in your life. You might have some pain in your heart that you're carrying. So you can't go into a marriage, you can't go into a relationship with someone where two become one flesh. If you're still carrying pain and hurts and hangups from your past, you need healing for your heart healing, inner healing. So that's why here at New Life, we've got several tools that we can use to help you to get healing on the inside. The first is our Encounter Weekend. We do it 3 or 4 times a year. It's a Friday night and all day Saturday where we will partner you with somebody and we're going to go through step by step and pray through any areas of your life that might have found hurts and hangups, some cracks in your foundation. Other things that we do through Pastor Catherine and her team is HeartSync, which is, it's not biblical counseling, it's just praying through areas of pain or of anything in your life. And what we're doing is we're going to go into the foundation and look for cracks and fill it in with Jesus. And some people have been through some things where you need biblical counseling. You need an hour a week with somebody that believes the Word of God and is going to apply the Word of God to strengthen you. And it might cost you some money, but wouldn't it be worth paying a little bit for biblical counseling and saving your future marriage, kids, grandkids? You know what I'm saying? And if you'll take the time to build a strong foundation in Jesus, you will weather the storm when your family is under attack. And think of it this way. I've showed it to you before. It's like a triangle. And when you are in a relationship, the closer you grow, the closer you pursue the Lord, the closer you're going to be to your spouse. So you've got to be running after the Lord. You've got to be running after his kingdom. And then along the way, you're like, oh, hey, I happen to be closer to my spouse. I've been doing this a long time, and I have never seen a married couple where both people are desperately pursuing Jesus and yet unhappy and hate one another. You know, I'm serious. Never, ever, ever have people been desperately pursuing God, and then the closer they get to the Lord, they look at their spouse like, oh, are you still around? I thought I'd have shaken you off by now. No, the closer you get to the Lord, the more desperately in love you are with one another. So usually when I see trouble in a marriage, it's because one or both people have stopped pursuing the Lord and they have become stagnant or are running the other direction. And they're not becoming the people that God's called you to be. All of that, step one, Jesus has got to be your foundation. Number two, marry the right person. If you're single, don't settle. Don't lower the bar. Leave that bar really high. You want to run after Jesus as hard as you possibly can. And if somebody can keep up with you, introduce yourself. Because you're just going to be pursuing after God. You want to find somebody who's more in love with Jesus than you are. And not literally, because what you want it to be a balance. You know, actually, you want to be equal in your pursuit of the Lord. And regards to, developing yourself as a single person, you should be a trophy before you go looking for a trophy. So why would you want to entangle somebody in your mess if you're not right with the Lord and you still have, garbage hanging up your life on the inside? If you're not emotionally whole on the inside, you need more Jesus to bring healing to the inside of you. Don't run into a marriage and the two become one flesh and one of you's crazy, so that you both become crazy. By the way, when I say marry the right person, if you are already married, you are now married to the right person. It's eternal. You're in it. There's no trade-ins. You know what I'm saying? You're not being like, well, in case you weren't the right person, I'm going to try again. No, if you're already married, it's done. That is now the right person. I don't know if they were the one. They are now. Let me also say this about dating, because I can tell you how to be happily married for 22 years, and I know this is going to be a controversial opinion. Don't date. Dating will teach you to practice divorce. Because I'm going to give my heart to you, and then I'm going to take it away. I'm going to give my heart to you, and then I'm going to take it away. And then here's where you go, what am I supposed to do? Just pick somebody out of the mall and say, are you single? Let's get married? Sort of. No. Let me tell you our story. When I was in high school and college, I did not hear this sermon. Nobody loved me enough to tell me this sermon, or I was too dumb. Somebody told me, and I wasn't paying attention. So I dated a lot of people, and most of the relationships were fine. Some of them were, emotional and codependent and unhealthy. And I was kind of, dating one after another, which I regret, because then I met my beautiful wife, and I'm like, oh, well, why didn't I just wait and just marry this one? Because that's what she did. Josie never dated. Ever, never, ever, 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 never. And this is a beautiful woman who was an immigrant from Sweden. Don't you think people were knocking on her door every day? Like, hey, immigrant from Sweden, girl, you want to go to prom with me? She was living in Mississippi at the time. I should have done my Mississippi accent. So my point is, when I met her and I was like, oh, this girl is a game changer. Hello. I could get down, make some babies and live, you know, a long time with this one. No, married first, sinners. We'll deal with that in a minute. We'll deal with that in a minute. But then I thought, wait a second. I don't want to ruin this girl. She's saved her heart, not just her body. She saved her heart for marriage. I don't want to ruin this girl. So we just became friends and we worked together. We were working for a church together. And then as we grew closer, clearly the Lord was putting us together. So then it was like, well, what do? Do we date? I was like, why don't we not date? Why don't we just pray? And if we feel that God is in this, if we feel that God is putting us together, we'll get engaged, we'll get married. So we literally did that. We prayed. And I felt clearly that God had spoken to me that Josie was the one. So then I went to her dad and I asked for her hand in marriage. We never dated. We went from friends to engaged to 6 months later, we were married. And that was 22 and a half years ago. I can teach you how to be happily married for 22 years. And this is just how we did it. This is the how-to. Don't date. Just have friends in your life that you're really close to and you feel like the Lord is bringing you closer to, and then pray. And you're like, well, I don't know if I can hear God's voice. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he might give it to you. Oh, snap. He will give it to you. Most people marry people and never ask God if they should. He will give you wisdom if you ask him. He will not rebuke you for asking. Verse 6, when you ask, be sure that you're asking in faith in God alone, not in books, not in movies, not in television, not in culture, not what your girlfriends say. Your faith is in the word of the Lord. And do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. That's why, like, I just don't know what my heart is feeling. Well, don't listen to your heart. Your heart is deceptive. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep, they know. They listen, they hear my voice. You can hear the voice of the Lord, but you have to learn as a single person to develop that learning, to develop your ear, to understand how to tune in. I have 9 steps, and we've only done 2. There's about to be some fast steps to be happily married for 22 years. Number 3, divorce is not an option. Marriage is a lifelong covenant, not a contract. We don't have covenants in America in 2018, but God did. God created covenant. You and I have a blood covenant with God, and it was Jesus's blood that confirms that covenant. It is an agreement. It is way more than a contract. So many people go into marriage and relationships like it's a contract. Well, as long as you hold up your end of the deal, I'll do my best to hold up my end of the deal, but the moment one of us doesn't keep our end of the deal, I'm out of here. Well, that's not a covenant. So you're doing marriage your way, not God's way. Because marriage is a lifelong biblical covenant where two become one flesh. It is eternal till death do us part. So when you just want to date people and sleep with people you're not married to and live together, you're saying, listen, I like you. I might even love you, but I'm unwilling to sacrifice myself, to die to myself so that we can live together as one in the sight of God. It's not biblical. It's not God's best. So here's the deal. The only thing that can break a biblical marriage covenant is by creating a new covenant. And sex is a covenant. Even high school sex at 16 or 17, that's a covenant. That's a lifelong covenant you made with somebody years ago. If you're married to somebody, you have made a covenant with that person. When you have sex with somebody else, you have created a new covenant on top of the old covenant. You've broken that first covenant by creating a covenant with somebody else. So let me just also say this. Assuming that you are not a widow or a widower, assuming that you've not previously been divorced, hypothetically, you should live your entire life and only ever have sex with one person, biblically. God's best. You're like, oh, Pastor Brad, that doesn't work in 2018. It does if you do things God's way and not your way and not the world's way. I'm just saying, God's way is better, way better. way better. You should have the same sexual partner from the bassinet to the casket. Period. Unless there's been some sort of thing where there has been a divorce, there's been a death, and you remarry. There are certain circumstances where you will remarry, you will be married more than one time, you will have more than one sexual partner, but never outside of the covenant of marriage. And some people be like, dude, come on, it's 2018, don't be so old school. Like, Jeff wore skinny jeans when he led worship. Like, come on, we're not an old school church, we're new school. Maybe God doesn't really hate divorce. Okay, what does the Bible say? Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. I hate divorce, says the Lord. I'm just gonna leave that up there for a while until y'all realize what the Bible says. He even said to divorce your wife is actually overwhelm her with cruelty. So guard your heart and do not be unfaithful to your wife. Just leave that there for a minute because people don't know what the Bible says about the Bible. It's like, I wonder if God's okay with divorce. Nope. God hates divorce. So in your marriage, don't ever mention it. It's a word you'll never speak. Don't threaten it. Don't tempt it. Don't try to bully people with it. It's not an option. You're married forever. Get used to it. Divorce is not an option. Number four, step four. Keep the marriage holy. There's a scriptural term that keep your marriage bed holy. Basically, last year at the men's conference, I had to share a bed with another dude. Now, granted, it was a king-size bed, and we had pillows in the middle, but I didn't like being in bed with anybody else but my wife. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But we, in this culture, we allow other people into our marriage bed, and we might not do it physically, but we'll do it in our mind. We'll allow somebody from work into our marriage bed. We'll allow 50 Shades into our marriage bed. We'll allow celebrities into our mind, into our marriage bed. We'll allow something on our TV screen or our phone or our tablet or our computer into our marriage bed. We will allow something else sexually to come into our mind, into our marriage bed. You'll let your mind wander to what it would be like to be unfaithful to your spouse with somebody else, a friend, a coworker, a TV star, a celebrity. Basically, what you're doing is you're committing murder in your mind. Like, boy, I wish my spouse wasn't alive so I could get down with some of this. Oh, but I'm a Christian, so I can't, so I'll just think about it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. You've heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Jesus says, yeah, okay, congratulations. You didn't actually commit adultery. I'm telling you, don't even think about it. Recently, I heard a story of a Christian couple at another church in another faraway city, so stop trying to think about our church. Y'all gossipy sinners. Love the Lord, good couple, young Christians. I don't know their ages at the time, let's say 20s. And they knew that they were not gonna sexually have an affair, but she had a relationship with somebody that she began to have an emotional affair with. And although it wasn't physical, in her mind, she had absolutely removed her husband from the equation and had an affair in her heart. Jesus says, dude, you've already committed adultery with that other dude. And I'm just telling you how we've done it in 22 years of marriage. We don't watch any movies or television shows. Nothing comes up on any screens in our house that depicts any kind of sexual sin or nudity of any kind. Like, wow, that's pretty extreme. Yeah, it's also extreme to have a godly marriage for 22 years. You should try it sometimes. It's amazing. You also have to, when you're looking at something on a screen, looking at something on a TV screen or a movie screen, would Jesus be sitting there like, yeah, this is the best part when he takes off her clothes and they hook up? Yeah, you're gonna like this part. Would Jesus ever do that? Well, then if Jesus wouldn't look at it, why are you? Now, let me circle back around to a few minutes ago talking about affairs and emotional affairs. Spouse, your job is to provide love and affection to your spouse so they're not looking for it anywhere else. Especially men. Guys, this is on us. A lot of times when we're single and we're Christians and we know we're not gonna have sex outside of marriage, we woo and we woo and we woo and we get married and we do it and then we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Now we're gonna go back to doing my thing because I'm from Texas and I'm a man and I'm not gonna be all emotional and all. Listen, most women and some men are like a sponge, and you can never stop pouring enough love and romance and tenderness into your spouse. You've got to keep pouring. Divorce, remember, is not an option. So unless you murder that person, you've got to keep pouring and pouring and pouring. And the way that you receive love might be different than the way that she or he receives love. So you got to find out what cranks their tractor. You've got to pour out love and tenderness and sweetness. You don't get to just shut down and become, oh, I'm just going to be in my office if you need me. You're going to make dinner and have it on the table by 6:15. What? Why don't you make dinner while you rub her feet and buy her chocolates? Don't be that dude. Keep pouring out. You don't want her having to look for that romance in a book or in a friend at work or somebody else. You just want to keep pouring out love on her all the time. Step 5. Gonna have to go way fast for the second half. Here we go. Have no secrets. Share everything. Share passwords. Share money. Share time. The Bible says that the two have become one flesh, so literally there's nothing that you would not share with your spouse. Now, some of you are like, hey, I've got some work confidentiality things I can't legally share. Listen, don't break the law. I mean, don't be an idiot. Use common sense. But you direct messaging an old Facebook friend because they make you feel special is not your top secret work thing.
Right.
You need to share that password.
That's right.
If, hey, spouse, if your spouse does not know your PIN to wake up your phone, just pull it out, hand it to them right now.
Right.
Like 1, 2, 3, 6.
That's right.
And if you've got stuff to delete, you can talk to Pastor Catherine tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Share everything. Step 6. I'm just telling you, hey, this is what worked for us. You do you, boo, but this is what worked for us. 22 years. Step 6, pray together. Pray together. Out loud, in a room, back and forth, praying. Pray for one another. Lay hands, fellas, it's just prayer. Lay hands on one another. But I will tell you this, gentlemen, you're welcome, because there's nothing sexier than a praying husband. Just, I'm trying to help you, brother. When you get home, instead of turning on the game, you'd be like, hey, baby, let's spend a few minutes in prayer. It is on like Donkey Kong. You will not get to amen. I'm trying to help you. A godly woman wants a man to be godly. Pray together. And you can't pray together if you don't pray alone. The family that prays together stays together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And verse 9, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help them. If somebody falls alone, they should be in a life group. And if you're not in a life group, you're in real trouble. You're doing life alone. I tell you what, the sheep on the outside of the flock gets eaten first. Get involved in a life group, serve on a dream team. Step 4. If you've been through the growth track and you're not serving in a dream team, come to growth track 4 today after service. We'll get you plugged into a dream team by next Sunday. Step 7, not just pray together, play together. Take vacations without your kids. You have to date each other. You dated each other years ago, you still have to keep dating. I've been married 22 years, you still date. Just each other, no kids. You take the kids to grandma's house, you take the kid, you pay for a babysitter, for some teenager from the church. It's important to date your spouse. Oh, snap. Step 8, tithe. Most marriages struggle because they struggle financially. I can help you settle the money issue. 100% of it is God's. The first 10% is literally God's, so you tithe, you return it to the Lord. The second 90%, you steward it in a godly manner. And you pray about things before you do things. Don't buy a car without praying about it. Don't buy a house without praying about it. You steward what God's given you well. Let me tell you something else. No high interest credit card debt. Ever, 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 never, ever, ever. A car with a low interest, a house with a low interest, fine, I get it. But no personal credit card debt, nothing high interest. Anything over, I don't know, Rick, nothing over 6%, 7%? What are cars at right now?
I'd love to have 3.5.
3.5 if you can get it. If you got really good credit, you can get the lower interest rate. But I mean, absolutely no credit over 10% interest. Ever, ever, never. I mean, ever, never, ever. It's destroying marriages in this country. Ooh, I gotta have that new thing. No, you don't. You can make do without that thing or the cheaper thing. You can save up for that thing and don't put it on a high interest credit card. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. So don't worry about money. What are we gonna eat? What are we gonna drink? Who's gonna pay the water bill? What are we gonna wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. You a believer or not? Do you trust God or not? Because those fears dominate the thoughts and marriages of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows what you need. So what do? Seek the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. There are times in our marriage in 22 years where we have struggled. But when we made very little money, we always tithed the first 10%. 10% is the same for minimum wage as it is for an NFL star that makes millions. 10% is 10%. So you give that first 10% to the Lord. And what you're doing is you're trusting God with the whole thing. You're saying, Lord, I trust you. Let me deal with a few things, some sticky widgets that I've brought up in this last 30 minutes. If you have had sex with somebody that you're not married to any time in your life, it's a sin. So what do you need to do? Number one, repent. Ask God to forgive you, wash you, and cleanse you. But number two, you've created a covenant with somebody. And if you never repented and you never broke that covenant, you need to. It means you have a tie, a hook in your soul that's chained you to somebody from high school, college. So you need to not only repent, ask God to forgive you, you need to break that covenant. You can do it today in prayer. Just say, I break that thing off. If you've had an affair on your spouse, then the marriage that you're currently in, and you think you got away with it, you need to repent before God and then repent to your spouse. Not in church. Wait till you get home because pots and pans are gonna fly. They will. Because you've broken the marriage covenant. You've replaced it with a different covenant. And legally, biblically, your spouse has the right to divorce you. That's, remember how I said God hates divorce and there's no divorce? In the case of sexual sin, in the case of adultery, there's absolutely grounds biblically for divorce because you have broken the covenant and created a new one. Now, let me just say this, Christian people, disciples of Jesus, not Christians. Just because your spouse may have committed adultery does not mean you need to run to the lawyer to get a divorce. Divorce should be the last possible option. Your first option should be forgiveness and restoration. This church has seen many, many, many marriages healed after a divorce. People repent, people forgive one another, and they just let that sin be washed away, and they renew, they recommit that marriage covenant vow forever, and they have lasting, lifelong marriages that are happy and whole and healing. So fight for that marriage, reconcile that marriage. But if you've broken that covenant anytime in your marriage, you do need to confess it. You did not get away with it. The eyes of the Lord has seen it, and the Holy Spirit is pointing it out to you right now. You didn't get away with it. You need to confess it. And you might lose your marriage over it. That's your bad. You should have thought about that. Many, many marriages have been healed after an affair. Don't run to the divorce. God hates divorce. Even if it's biblical grounds for divorce, God still hates it. Fight for it. Now, let me also say this. If you've been divorced and you remarried and you're like, well, that thing said, if I divorce and remarry, I'm committing adultery. Don't get divorced again. Just you're committed. You're in it. So repent of the sin of the divorce. Ask God to forgive you, wash you, cleanse you, because now you've made a new covenant, a new commitment, and that's going to be it forever. There's no divorce. We're not going to go back to the first one. Be like, oh, yeah, that was my bad. I never should have got that ship sailed. You've got a new covenant, so now you're in this one. But you do need to repent and ask God to forgive you. I know it gets a little sticky. Number nine, get help if you need help. Don't be a hero when there's problems in your marriage and you don't ask for help. Tom Brady's an amazing quarterback, but he has a coach that teaches him how to throw the ball. Ed Sheeran's an amazing musician, but he's had a piano teacher and a guitar teacher. I think he plays the violin. I mean, he's had coaches, he's had teachers. When you get sick, I broke my arm. Do you just stay at home and be like, I'm good, it'll just heal back into place? You're like, I have this big cancerous tumor. I'm good, it'll work itself out. Doesn't that just sound stupid? So does not going to marriage counseling. It's usually the man that doesn't wanna go. What is wrong with you? You wanna lose your marriage? You wanna make that person unhappy? You wanna make yourself miserable? Listen, we've got people in this church that have been through it before. Doesn't matter what, you know, pastor, you don't know. there's been all sorts of affairs and drugs and crazy. We've got all that. You're sitting next to all that. And God has healed it. And God has restored it. And God has brought healing and wholeness. But, thank you, Lord. But listen, you need help. You need to talk to somebody. It could just be a pastor at the church. It could be a life group leader. It could be, you know, licensed biblical counseling, you know, week by week for a while to work things out. Going to marriage conferences, listening to marriage podcasts, reading marriage books. Listen, fellas, I know if you read them and you go to them and you listen to them, there will be a reward at the end. I'm just trying to bless you. I'm trying to help you, fellas. But if you don't and you harden your heart, you're telling your wife, listen, I don't really love you that much. I just want to love you on my terms, not yours. I'm telling you how to be happily married for 22 years, and I gave you 9 steps to do it. I don't know how to get to 23. I'm still working on it. But really happily married. I am crazy about this girl. I mean, like it was 22 and a half years ago, and my heart beats out of my chest. I am crazy about this girl. You saw that picture yesterday of the two royal couples, the one that's been married for 7 years and the one that's been married for 2 months. And y'all should look at social media more often. The one that's been married for 2 months, they were like Google-eyeing each other at this event. And the brother and the what's-her-name, they've been married for 7 years, were like reading a magazine. Man, you gotta stir up that love. You gotta play together. You gotta pray together. You gotta date each other. You gotta fall in love with each other all over again, every day. Don't just woo and woo and woo and then whoa. You keep wooing. You keep pursuing one another. You keep pursuing the Lord. And when sin pops up, you repent, you talk about it. Ask for help. So I didn't tell you what you ought to do, I told you how to do it. Did that help you this morning? Hop up on your feet. Listen, what was step one? Be a radical disciple and lover of the Lord Jesus. It is the foundation that you build everything on. And until we deal with that issue, we can't go on and deal with other issues. Jesus is always gonna be the main thing. Jesus has been the main thing in our marriage for all these years. How did we raise 3 kids that love the Lord? We didn't fake our Christianity. Oh, snap, that got a little heavy, didn't it? We love Jesus desperately Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And for 20-something years, our kids have seen that. See, we ain't playing no games. We love Jesus. And it's not religion. It's a relationship. It's a passionate pursuit. Jesus has got to be your main thing. This thing would fall down if it weren't for the foundation, right? It's gonna fall down unless you shore up that foundation of Jesus being the Lord of your life. We're gonna pray in a minute. And by the way, don't anybody leave. When we pray, I want you to get things right with Jesus and or one another. And if there's things that have come up, the Holy Spirit has pointed out to you, man, I want you to talk to the Lord, and then later this afternoon, talk to one another. Don't pick no fights at church, y'all. I mean, crazy. Purses flying. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many affairs you've had. It doesn't matter how many times you've sinned against God or sinned against your spouse. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's crazy about you. Now, he wants you to knock it off. What did Jesus say? Go and sin no more. Go and live holy. But it all starts with faith in Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you have never known the Lord Jesus like that, or maybe you did as a young person, you did a long time ago, but your heart has grown cold, today's the day to reignite that fire. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would transform our lives and our marriages. I pray that you would help us, Father, under the attack of the devil who wants to destroy our marriages and our kids and our grandkids and the future generations of the church. So Lord, I pray that we would do what it takes to fight for healthy, godly, biblical marriages, that you would strengthen us, that you would impart hope and life to us, that it can be done and it can be done well and it can be done with fun. Help us, Lord. But step one is that we love you desperately and that you are a deep and strong foundation of our lives. So Lord, for those that are here this morning that might not know you, I pray that you begin to soften their hearts, open their eyes, let them see how much you love them and that they can begin that new relationship with you. Or maybe it's somebody who's been gone for a while and their heart has grown cold. Lord, I pray you'd reignite the fire again in our hearts. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and that's you, I've been talking about you and you know it, but you've also made the decision, man, I'm gonna get right with God right now. I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna repent, I'm gonna ask him to forgive me, whether it's the first time or the first time in a long time. I'd like to know who I'm praying for. It just kind of helps. We're all gonna pray together here in a minute, but I wanna know who we're praying for. So if it's your first time or your first time in a long time, would you shoot your hand up real high? Just raise your hand up and wave it at me and say, preacher, pray for me. Today's my day. I'm gonna get right with God today. I'm gonna repent of sin and give my heart to Jesus. I see your hand in the back. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand up real high and say, preacher, come on, I gotta get right with God today. I gotta repent of my sin. Wow. I see your hand over there. Is there anybody else? What do you think of that, church? Two people can get right with God today. Why don't we all pray this prayer together? Because there's probably a few chicken people that didn't raise their hand. Let's just all pray. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Be the Lord of my life. Be the foundation of my home. I love you, and I receive your love, and I receive eternal life. So help me, Lord, to be a disciple that pursues you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, for the two of you that raised your hand, I'm so proud of you. You made the right call. That's like, you know, you're building a house and the contractor's like, well, you could save a lot of money if we don't pour a foundation. You just start building sticks right on top of the dirt. That's stupid. You're going to lose everything. So you made the right call to, you know, receive that investment of Jesus into your life. If you were one of those two people or maybe...